Well, welcome to this special one-hour program here on Renew FM. This is Pastor George Small, and it's a privilege to be with you again tonight. We've been spending some time just turning on our microphones here the last few months, and here, local here in the central area of Massachusetts, and seeking to encourage our listeners. So I hope you've been encouraged, and we're continuing to do that this week. You know, so much going on in our world, and I think it's a privilege tonight. I've got a pastor from a very different part of our country, Oklahoma, that I felt led to see if he would spend some time with us on the air today and encourage you. He's got a lot of history and a lot of time in ministry. His program, you may hear at night on our radio program called Spreading the Word. And so, I'm looking forward to just spending a little bit of time with him. I hope you're encouraged as we just talk together, share our hearts, and he shares his heart with you tonight. So, Pastor Buck Nicholson, welcome to Renew FM.
Thank you, George, very, very much. It's my honor to have the privilege of visiting with you and your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And I was a little caught off guard there, different introduction to our program, a different song. I wasn't ready to go on because it's another song we normally use, but anyhow, it's a real blessing to have you tonight, and I know you have a lot of history and just ministry, just so much you've been part of, and I've read a little bit about you, and certainly have heard your teaching, Spreading the Word Ministry, and been encouraged by it, and I thought it'd be a blessing to just talk with you tonight, and from your vantage point, with your years of history as a pastor, of course, living in America, I think you live more in rural America. But to just the things that are in your heart and encourage our audience. So, but as we get started tonight, Pastor Buck, if you would share a little bit about your story, you know, how you came to Christ and your ministry, a little bit of your journey, I think it'll be encouraging to our audience also. So, you know, if you could just share a little bit of your story.
George, I received the Lord Jesus into my heart when I was just a child. And the way it happened is somewhat differently to some's conversion. I recall how that a preacher came to speak at a church where my father was pastor. I perhaps was about 7 years old at that time. And I had been touched by the Lord already at that early age. I can recall having tried to read the Bible and understand. There was a vacuum in my heart, even as a child. And I would attend the revival services and listen to the preacher, but somehow I just couldn't find the courage to just step forth and openly open my heart to the Lord before others. So the man, an elderly man who was preaching the revival services, came to me one evening after the service, and he said, would you mind getting up early in the morning and go hunting with me, rabbit hunting? Well, of course, as a small child, that certainly appealed to me. And I said, oh, I'd like that. And sure enough, when morning came, he awoke me, and I got up, and we started walking out across the pastures looking for what I thought was rabbits. We hadn't gone too far, George, until it became very evident to me that he wasn't nearly as interested in rabbits as he was a little boy who was without Jesus. And it was there in that pasture that he told me about the Lord having given his life for me and was willing and desired to save me. And it was there that I made peace with the Lord as a child. I'll tell you a little about when I found he who has meant everything to me, the Lord Jesus.
Well, that's beautiful. A young boy, young age, God reaching out to you, touching your life like that. And you know, a man that cared so much about you, to spend some time with you, to want to make sure that you would know Christ. And that is, this doesn't get any better than that. And especially a young man to find the Lord and begin to walk with him as you have for now a long time. And I know also it was a time later, wasn't it? Wasn't it late high school, I guess, when you then felt called to the ministry, took a different direction in your life?
Yes. I recall very well my senior year, and when others would get about me and they would say, well, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to major in this and hopefully this is going to become my life's work. Well, I just couldn't make up my mind about what I had a desire to do, because there was in my heart that vacuum, having not known or not know what it was that I should do with my life. I remember very well how that I would pray about it, and I would ask the Lord to direct my life. And this, I think, will be somewhat, it'll be somewhat difficult for many to understand, but I would find myself getting before the mirror, and I'd preach. And if I was driving down the highway, and I'd meet a car, and I'd start preaching when I saw that car appear. George, I've even preached to chickens and dogs and horses. And then I came to understand that the Lord was speaking to me about proclaiming the gospel of his wonderful son, Jesus. And it was fresh out of high school that I surrendered my life to the Lord, was ordained to the ministry at the ripe old age of 18.
Wow.
Just a few months after being ordained, I was called to a little country church and began pastoring, and that pastoral work has remained for, I guess, about 63 years now.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. 63 years. So pastoring in a small community, you've also pastored, I believe, more than one church. Isn't that true?
Yes. Of course, I graduated from Oklahoma and went to college in Oklahoma. Fresh out of college, I was called to pastor a church in Fort Worth, Texas. And I went there and for 3 or 4 years pastored. And then I was called to a large church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and spent several years there. And then came back to Oklahoma, the place, state of my birth, and began pastoring a church here in Clinton, Oklahoma, Broadway Heights Baptist Church. And I pastored there about 12 years. Then when I resigned Broadway Heights, the Lord had placed upon my heart to enter into the radio ministry. And about 12, 13 years ago, we began spreading the word ministry. And since that time, God's blessings has been upon the efforts put forth. I think, George, that I've pastored about 4 different pastorates in those 60-some-odd years. Most of the time, I've always stayed 12, 13 years wherever I went.
That's just...
I have the idea, George,
you sure
that
do.
If a pastor will be right, I mean, his conduct be pure and he have a good name, the longer he stays, the better. I feel that way because he becomes better known, and more people will make response to him if he's the right kind of man. So I've always stayed a long time.
That's really wonderful. I had the privilege of planning a Bible study here in 95, so I've been here a while in this area of Massachusetts, now 25 years myself.
And, wonderful.
Yeah, you know, grew into a church, and so it's kept me busy, that's for sure. But you're way beyond that, and that's really quite a thing. So that's why I'm excited about this time of talking with you and all your history, as I've mentioned, and your years of ministry, watching this world, watching America, watching all the changes going on in the culture. And here we are now in 2020, and I thought it would be revealing and encouraging to hear your heart. When you're looking at the world right now and seeing all that is going on in the world, What do you see? What is it? What do you think? What would you say to the audience here in Renew FM in New England as you're watching the world right now?
Well, of course, it is difficult to stay upbeat as a Christian in the present day that we're living. I have difficulty with that. I remember how that many years ago it was spiritually and in our churches, but there's been a vast change over the years. However, I, George, am an optimist. I know what the end's going to be.
Amen.
Which makes me think of two or three preachers who were preaching and are speaking together, and they were discussing the book of the Revelation. And one of them, he just didn't give answers that the others thought was appropriate, and they spoke some words of discouragement about his lack of knowledge of the book of the Revelation. And he finally said to them, "I understand the book." And they said, "Well, you understand. You don't make it known that you understand. What do you understand about the book of the Revelation?" He said, "I understand we're going to win." Now, I tell you, this world is in a terrible, terrible condition. But we're going to win. Because one of these days, known only to God, the blessed Lord Jesus is going to break the canopy of heaven and come back to
Amen.
Them. And when he does, he's going to set everything right. Now, what is our work until then? I think our work is to do like the elderly preacher who told me about Jesus when I was just a little boy. I think that our primary work is to send forth the message of how Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and has a will to save any and every person on planet Earth. And we're to take that message to them, George.
Yes, and I know you do that on your program, spreading the word. You do that very well. You've been doing it a long time. You know, the message is a big part of your heart, as it should be, and it should be part of the heart of any pastor, obviously, that sharing the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And, you know, your points early on, revealing certainly when you say that, you know, it's a little harder to stay upbeat as a believer in this world in the sense that, the world has changed, America's changed, the church life is different. There's just been a radical change in our culture. And yet, as you've mentioned, you know, we do have this incredible hope. We have the blessed hope of the return of Christ and being with him. And in the meantime, he's given us the Great Commission to go and tell people about Christ and to share the gospel with them. And I know Spreading the Word Ministries, I hear you just about every time I hear you, you do exactly that, tell others about Christ and how they can come to know Jesus. And so, amen, I appreciate that's what it's all about.
You know, I certainly believe that the Lord can push this matter of his coming again forward. I believe that he can. I believe that we can have revival. The Bible makes it very plain as to those things necessary for revival and for healing of our nation. You recall, I'm sure, the verse which says, if my people, I would think, George, that the big problem with the United States and the world is the Lord's people.
Yeah.
He said, if my people, if they will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil way. Then he said, I will heal their land. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. So I still have hope that we're going to see revival in our country. It may not be a nationwide revival, but there are revivals taking places at various different places throughout America today. And so I think I mentioned a while ago, and I hope that I spoke truthfully when I said, I'm optimistic.
Right.
Because we're in the hands of God who can fulfill every promise. He can answer every prayer. There's nothing beyond his power, and we are his children. And I think it's going to turn out all right, George.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Buck, You speak of revival. That is a burden on my heart, and I think a lot of pastors. We are actually going to have a prayer event here in our city, Fitchburg, on Sunday called Call to Fall, and so burdened for our nation, our state, and the state of the church. We're going to gather with churches, and right now there seems to be a good number of churches and different, you know, ethnicities and so forth, born-again believers, but we're going to go out on Main Street of our city and get on our knees and spread out, social distancing because of COVID-19, but we're going to align the Main Street and just lift our hands to heaven, and each of us ask God's mercy and ask God to bring revival and, you know, in repentance, right, like Daniel and Nehemiah with the same heart of repentance. And as you mentioned, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right, and turn from their wicked ways. So repentance and asking for revival and restoration, you know, God is our hope. And even at this hour, I do agree, God is our hope. And I have a question then related to that for you also. But in all your years, have you ever seen revival?
Ask me again, George. I didn't understand you.
Yeah, well, in all your years of ministry, Pastor Buck, have you seen revival? Have you experienced revival?
Oh, my, yes. Oh, my, yes. And that's one thing that I had in mind when I mentioned how it's discouraging in this present day. George, when I was a young preacher, I'd go to some church to conduct revival services, and people would stand at the door and look in. There wasn't available room, or they'd stand outside and look in the windows. It was a different day altogether.
Wow.
It is now. If we schedule revival in the local church today, why, maybe Sunday evening through Wednesday, we might have services. Back when I began preaching, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we'd just have revival services day and night. I'll tell you this that might be of interest. We have 3 children, Doris and I.
Yeah.
Our oldest is Robin. You spoke to her a moment ago on the telephone.
Yep.
When Doris and I got married in 1954 on a Friday evening, I started preaching revivals the next Sunday. And I spoke in revival services for 90 days and 90 nights.
Wow.
Now, I recall having come home one Friday or Saturday or Sunday evening. I don't recall what evening. But the next morning when we got up, Robin, at that time, was the only children we had. We have 2 others now. But she was sitting at the table as we were eating breakfast, and I thought she was acting strangely. And finally she spoke up and said, Mother, who is that man? Now, that tells a little about revival in the past. And people were converted in masses. I can remember revivals even in small churches where there'd be 20 or 30 people baptized at the end of the revival down in a country pond or a babbling river, baptized out of doors. Now, my heart cries out for that again. I don't know that I'll ever see that.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful to hear, Pastor Buck. You make me think. I've tasted of it a little bit in my years, just a little. I was at a church in California that was experiencing, I think, you know, I came in the latter time, but as you had mentioned, there was just such an true, genuine fear of God, Holy Spirit, excitement, not weird, just the fear of God, and a lot of people getting saved all the time. And but a very holy church, you know, very not just, you know, hype or anything like that. I mean, just a real convicting, but yet very beautiful, and a ton of people getting saved all the time. And I think I'd never been to a church like that. In fact, I'd grown up in some wonderful Baptist churches, but I walked into that church and I was like, what is so different here? There's something so beautiful. In fact, you know, I actually hear every word the pastor says, and there's thousands of people here, and nobody's blinking. And I think it was the latter part of a revival that had broken out in the late 60s, early 70s. We call them the Jesus Movement. And
Yes.
Yeah, and it was the latter part of that, in a church that had come out of that right at the very beginning, and it was still happening, and it was very wonderful. And so just a little taste of it myself. And then going to other countries, you make me think of India. When I was in India, the churches that we would go to, exactly the way you described, people packed in, people looking through the windows, people's packed in at the door, and it's really it is beautiful to see that hunger for the Word of God, and not some trick or some sort of entertainment to draw them, very simple, the gospel, the Bible, very holy, and I pray for revival, and I've been teaching on Sunday mornings here in our church through Jonah. That's where I feel led right now. And, Jonah, I was just teaching on Sunday, Nineveh. Pretty miraculous what happened there. I guess if God can do that in Nineveh, it may be in some places in America, it's still yet possible that there would be that sense of, a conviction.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, a conviction that comes down and people really cry out to God in that way, as Nineveh did. That is insightful and encouraging. I'd like to ask you too, prayer. We're going to have a prayer event. We've been talking about prayer on Renew FM too. And what would you say to the church right now too about prayer? What have you learned about prayer? How can you encourage them in prayer at this time?
One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is the verse where the Lord said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show unto thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You note that he said, "Call unto me, and I will hear you." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." I think that the power of God is made available when his children, on their knees, from the deep of their heart, cry out unto the Lord. George, I don't think there's ever been a prayer prayed that wasn't answered. Now, it may not have been answered like we thought it ought to be, but God, he said, "I'll answer you when you ask me. You call out unto me." And I'm thrilled when you tell me about what is about to take place in your locale, where you're going to go out and present the Lord, and you're going to pray publicly, unashamedly. I think that is wonderful. And God's great power comes in answer to prayer.
Yes.
I just am a strong, strong, strong believer in prayer.
Amen. Amen. And I, from listening to you on the radio, I'm not surprised to hear you say that, because I discern that and believe that you are a man of prayer and a man that's been in ministry, preaching and teaching for so long. Really quite a privilege to be able to just have you again share some of your heart. And at this time in America too, there's so much change going on. It's hard to even imagine some of the things that are happening around us in the way that they are. But as you are on the radio, and I know you're sharing the Word of God with whoever's listening, and so you're on the radio here, Renew FM in Boston, you're on, and we've got a group of stations here in New England that you're on, and I know you're airing the same programs everywhere, but what is there a word you would have as you think of Boston and New England to just any listener, any person beyond, maybe even the church, somebody listening right now who maybe a student in Boston or somebody driving somewhere to their company, what would you say to them at this hour in America?
George, I'm almost hesitant to answer what I feel and what I was wanting to ask you. I think that maybe you're not in that area of the country as conservative.
Oh, that's no.
We're,
oh my goodness! Yeah, this is. You're talking. We've got a Christian radio network, and God's done miracles to get it. But we are the most secular, liberal part of America now. That's the reality. In fact, 50% of the people or so do not go to church at all in any way, or consider it unchurched. Yeah.
every once in a while we'll receive word from someone who has heard the broadcast, no doubt from one of your stations on the Northeastern Seaboard. And it's always so encouraging because religiously I have been made to think that it's very liberal up where you live.
Yes.
It's coming more our way, George. We got a lot of what I call, and perhaps I shouldn't call them that. I don't mean to be derogatory toward them, but I call them electric churches. You know, it's more of a show than it is true religion. And I talked to a fellow not too long ago, and he said he goes to a certain church where they have all of the rabbits pulled out of the hat every Sunday. And I said, well, what do you think about it? And he said, tell you the truth. He said, I come out most every Sunday feeling that I've been entertained. But he said, I don't really feel like I've worshipped.
Wow.
And I don't know now. I don't know whether that's true. I don't go to all of them.
Right.
But I do know that religion nailed Jesus to the cross.
Yes, yes.
There's a vast difference in religion than there is true Christianity.
Yes.
And we need not more religion. We need more Christians and people who will adhere to the Word and be true to the Word. But they seem to be far in between, and especially maybe where you live more so than where I live.
You know, I'm not surprised. If I visited you in Oklahoma, I would anticipate a more conservative community and conservative. I'd probably feel a little bit more comfortable there for that reason than a little bit of a fish out of a water here. But God's called me here. And I do believe, yes, you know, religion, we can try to attract people. We can try to make it entertaining. But I believe we're called to make disciples. And to make a disciple, I look in my Bible and I see what a disciple is. He fears the Lord, turns away from the world, you know, doesn't live like the world. I mean, in the world, but not of it. Lives for Christ and shares the gospel and, you know, lays their life on the altar, Romans 12, right? That we're willing to, you know, a living sacrifice. So my hope and goal with our church here is to make disciples. And that's not a popular thing to do today. And I've witnessed certainly plenty of people walk out the door when I've said things they didn't like. And that's just the world we're in today. People don't even like to be corrected or to hear things that are convicting. They shy away from it. But boy, looking around what's happening in America right now, we really need a revival, and that starts with repentance. So I do agree with you, and appreciate that. Well, Pastor Buck, we have a minute here, and then we come to 6:30. And I just want to thank you for your time. It's a blessing to have you on the radio and to just hear your thoughts here at this time. And any final word here, this last minute before our break?
Well, I'm deeply appreciative to you and to those whom you work with for the opportunity of sharing some of my thoughts. I tell you what, let's you and I make a deal. I'll pray for you and you pray for me. If we'll do that, well, we'll be a blessing to one another. I'm going to expect George to be praying for me, and I'm going to pray for George.
Pastor Buck,
amen.
That is a deal. We've just shook hands over the radio airwaves and through the telephone. I agree with you. I make the deal with you. I will most certainly pray, and I do occasionally pray for you and your program, but I will pray for you even more focused, and I covet your prayers here for sure and our radio network at this time. So, well, I pray the Lord gives you a wonderful 2020. A lot going on in this world. It's pretty crazy, but I pray he blesses you, your marriage, your family, and all your ministry and spreading the word. And I want to thank you again for just joining us. And God bless you, Pastor Buck.
Amen. God bless you, my friend.
Well, welcome back to the second half hour of Hope for the Hour. This is Pastor George Small. First half hour, you heard I had Pastor Buck Nicholson from Spreading the Word Ministry out of Well, Clinton, Oklahoma, so a very different world than many of our communities here in New England. And as he even mentioned, a man who's got plus 60 years in the ministry, a man who's loved the Lord, gave his heart to Christ when he was very young. He's watched this world change a ton and burdened in that way, and yet having hope, a hope of the return of Christ, and shared some thoughts about that too. But we talked a little bit together about prayer, and he shared his conviction and hope that there yet would yet be a revival at this time, knowing that Lord is coming back soon in his heart, and that's what he believes, and we're at an amazing time, but yet believing that God could also even yet bring revival, and that maybe not everywhere, but certainly places and communities where there's believers and people's hearts are willing to turn to the Lord in a way that's very sincere that way. Well, I mentioned to him, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit, I've got Kana here with me the second half hour, and we've chosen to do this because of this Sunday in Fitchburg at 4 o'clock is called a fall. It is something that happens around our nation. Tony Perkins Family Research Council, maybe your church has heard about it, been part of it. Something that started, I think, in 2009. I know we were part of it then, and we've been part of it a good number of years. But a call to fall, that is a movement of people getting on their knees, churches, the Sunday before Independence Day, which would be this next Sunday, and getting on your knees in your church, the believers, and asking God for mercy for America. On your knees in repentance, humility, but also asking God for revival and just, in a sincere way, just crying out to heaven. Our knees, of course, getting on our knees represents that humility and sincerity. And it's true, a lot of times we can't do that because of our bodies and whatever, wherever we are in our health and so forth, but yet in the heart, especially that heart of humility. And as I've shared with our church, I've seen photos of churches across our country, large churches where you have thousands in a building, all on their knees on Call to Fall Sunday, all of them. It's quite a picture to see. Go on, maybe you can find some, but I've seen them. The entire congregation, just thousands of people, all on their knees. Call to Fall Sunday before God, crying out to God for mercy and just grace for our nation. Well, in Fitchburg on Sunday is Call to Fall. We're going to do it right here in Fitchburg, but this time on Main Street. And getting out there, different churches, believers gathered together, called to fall for 1 hour, 4 o'clock, meeting at 356 Broad Street at 3:30, and then walking over to Main Street, and then spacing ourselves out for social distancing and praying along the street for 1 hour. And not to do it to do a show or to be a show, but honestly, to do it more so in desperation and just show God and to go out onto our Main Street. In the city of Fitchburg, a wonderful place. I live here, but one of those communities in New England, too, that is known to be more needy. Lots more going on with some of the challenging things from drugs to prostitution and all that. But a place I'm called to, and I love the people, but a place then may be good to do that, you know, a place representing just a place of need, a place of where spiritual darkness has been able to have a foothold and to cry out to God and to pray for his mercy. Well, I want to talk with Kane a little bit. It's something that God put in Kane's heart. And she's 21 years old. She happens to be my daughter. That's just the way that works out. But something that God is speaking to her about, and God has clearly confirmed it. And so I wanted to just give the opportunity on the radio to have her share a little bit more as we're getting closer to this Sunday, being now Monday, and just have her talk to you a little bit about what's in her heart. And we'll have a little conversation the second half of this program, and that will be done here at in about 15, 18 minutes. But Kana, you know, we are getting closer. I know you've been working on different ways to get the word out and to promote Call to Fall Fitchburg. But as we get closer, what's in your heart? What's the scriptures? What would you like to say to our Renew FM radio audience?
Well, you know, it's a blessing to be back because I just want to be perfectly honest before all you guys who are listening that the last time we had this opportunity to share and speak about Call to Fall last Tuesday, I believe it was, you know, the Lord shared whatever he wanted to say that night. He gave us the words, but I remember afterwards being like, okay, I forgot to say, you know, one of the main things the Lord had placed on my heart whenever I was praying about, you know, what would it look like to go and pray on our knees? Like, Lord, what is your heart for this? What is your heart for those who will be joining this time? And at that point, this was about a month ago. It was after a prayer walk on a Thursday night. And we had just been, oh, the Holy Spirit had met us while we were on our prayer walk. The Lord had done a beautiful work. He was showing, opening our eyes to the people on the city streets, you know, just to see them as individual souls that are lost rather than, you know, their backgrounds, rather than their current bondage, rather than their current even sin. And just to have our hearts break for the city. And I remember coming back just in that place in my heart, just like, Lord, like, what is your heart for Fitchburg? What is your heart for this nation? Like, what would you desire us to do? I had that praying on our knees kind of on my heart, but I didn't know what like the vision would be. And I remember him giving me Haggai chapter 2, just referring to the church. Pastor Buck Nicholson was just on the radio with us the first half, and he was sharing about the revivals that he saw in his day and age, and just the beautiful, just like the sweet simplicity of the gospel, that people purely desired the word of God, purely desired Jesus. Jesus, the person, the glorified person. He came down to this earth to save us, but he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a person that we can know, a person we can long for and desire to know intimately and have that relationship with. But Pastor Buck himself, he said that the church has started to kind of drift away and become complicated and having to entertain and having to kind of add on to just Jesus and the gospel and the word of God. And so I was thinking this about a month ago, and I came to Haggai 2, talking about the former state of the Lord's house, the temple. This is, he's talking through his prophet, speaking to the nation at that time, talking about the temple and how it had changed. And it says this in verse 3, Haggai chapter 2, talking about the former house of the house of God. It says, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace, says the Lord of hosts." And you know, I was thinking about this and I was praying about this chapter, I couldn't stop my pen. I'm just writing, jotting down in my journal so many thoughts. And I wish I had that journal with me right now. But I believe that the Lord, like, this can also refer to the house of God today, the temple. You know, like, the temple of God is where his spirit dwells. And we now, as a church, are the temple of God. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. And as we're talking about the revival that we used to see in the churches back then, like, you know, someone like Buck Nicholson that was on the very first half of this show could say, like, you know, I saw the glory of the temple. I saw the glory of the house of God, those revivals. And now, like, as it was saying, like, to those who saw it, like, is this what we're experiencing right now to you as nothing, you know? Like, we're in this place where we are asking God in desperation for another revival. But, you know, as I was praying about this, I read Spurgeon's sermons on Haggai chapter 2, and it was talking about where the Lord says, "And once more I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And then I will fill this temple with glory." And reading his sermons, I'm going to paraphrase, but he was talking about, you know, when we start to place our hope in the gold and the silver of the temple, so to speak, and the add-ons, like the things that are not the substance that we should be, you know, going to the churches for and going to seek the Lord for is himself. But if we place our hope in the things like that are not as important, like the glory, the gold and the silver. So like, for instance, the entertainment in the churches, for instance, the worship that can be exciting, or the different, you know, exciting ministries and outreaches and, you know, the all those different things, the show or performance, like that's when God needs to start shaking us. He needs to start shaking us that we'd return to be, to have simplicity of Christ being our desire. Spurgeon said that the desire of all nations was that people would come back to desire Christ as their only desire. And so that's what's on my heart for Cold of Fall Sunday, is that we would be repenting of sin, that we would come back to personal revival before we come to, you know, city revival or national revival and restoration, that we would come to personal revival, that we begin to desire the Lord and Jesus Christ and that intimate relationship with Him alone, and stop desiring the extra add-ons, you know, the things that we've placed our hope in that God's shaking right now.
Well, thank you, Kana. We can certainly hear your conviction and your passion for Cold to Fall. And as you mentioned, you know, to desire the Lord solely, that is the heart of the believer. It should be the heart of the believer. That's why it's the heart of revival, where He's first in our hearts. We want Him above all things. We seek Him above all things. And we've lived in a world here in the West where we've got all these other things that can so easily entertain and take our hearts, and we really miss out on the greater things, and that is the Spirit of God overflowing His people and the church. And so revival is getting back to that place. And we've been in a time in our country and in our world where things are reminding us, you know, what's important. You can live for the stuff of the world, but it might just slip through your hands. You can live for the entertainment. You can live for all these other idols, and yet you might find that they're not there when you thought they were, and put so much of your emotion into that, and yet it's just a vapor. It leaves, it's gone. But God, eternal, and we're going to be with Him in heaven forever. So how foolish when we get distracted too much of the world gets into our heart, and we're not really consecrated to Him. You know, as I was thinking about what to say here too, and to respond, I was looking at a scripture, and I happened to notice my email on my little Mac here in the studio, and you know, there is so much going on around us right now, people talking about praying, people talking about fasting, people praying for our country. For a lot of us, it is, because we're burdened. We're seeing a time of shaking. It's good. I think God is allowing it, and God is also getting our attention. But here's one right now. I just got this just a couple minutes ago, you know, in my email. It's a National Esther Fast. Somebody is sending it out, and it has gotten to, I think, our radio station, a National Esther Fast. And talk about a pretty radical fast. This group is encouraging a fast next week for 3 days, like Esther. And they even suggest, if you can, no food and no water, no drink. That's pretty insane. I've never done one without drink, but I fasted, and I will leave that up to you and them. But so many saying, can you see? Can you see what's going on? Are you witnessing what's happening to our country? And the, you know, this Esther call, a call to the American church. In short, this is what they say right here. The big trouble is, summed up in one sentence, our nation is turned away from God. And I do think it's true. And I think it's time for us to turn to God and to really turn and to be different and not to go back to the way that we were. And so to cry out to the Lord, we need God's power. And I pray He sees a real fervency and a real urgency in His people. I was teaching this Sunday in Jonah chapter 3, which is a revival in the sense it's an awakening of a city that never really had the true word of God. And they heard the word of God in the sense of the judgment that was going to come upon them. And they really turned to God. But it's these words that I note here. And this is important because they call a fast, even the king of Nineveh does. And they put on the sackcloth, they call a fast, they pray. But it's they do it in a way. It's across the board. It's the rich. It's the poor. They even clothe their animals in sackcloth. That's how serious they are when they heard that God was going to judge them for their wickedness. And it says this in verse 10 of Jonah chapter 3. Then God saw their works. Or, you know, in the NIV, this is the NIV. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, when God saw it, He saw their hearts. He saw it in their behavior. They turned from their evil ways, and He had compassion on them and did not bring on them the judgment that was threatened. Instead, you know, God gave them grace. And so we look in our America, we wonder where everything's going, what is happening at this hour, where are we going to be this fall, where will we be after that? You know, there's so many things, isn't it? And I'm sure, yeah, we'll figure out the medicines and so forth for COVID-19. We'll get through another election, and that'll be sorted out. But there's just bigger and bigger things. They just continue to come. And what we need as individuals is Christ in our heart and God exalted in our lives, and to be serious about the Lord. And so a call to Fall Fitchburg this Sunday. I'm going to ask Kana just to give you some more details specifically on how this is going to work out in case you hadn't heard about it. So, Kana, tell exactly what's happening this Sunday with the call to fall in Fitchburg.
Yeah, so this Sunday, June 28th, we will be meeting at Horizon Christian Fellowship parking lot at 3:30 p.m., and at that time, we're going to be addressing everybody who has come. We're going to kind of give them the details of how this time of prayer, this 1 hour of prayer, will work, and we're going to be explaining, you know, we do want a social distance because we want to respect the government mandates, because we're bringing prayer outside of our churches, where originally Call to Fall would be in our sanctuaries. We're bringing it out onto our city streets, and so we do want to reflect Christ. We don't want to place any stumbling block. We don't want to offend anybody. That's the only reason why we're being very extra careful, is because we want to reflect Christ and Him only and leave no reason to offend. So in that time, we'll be explaining at 3:30, we'll be explaining in the parking lot, and we're going to have a group prayer and just, you know, set the tone right. And then we're going to walk to Main Street together at the same time, socially distancing. And then when we get to Main Street, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Fitchburg Upper Commons, but we're going to start lining that sidewalk facing the street, and we're going to just find a place to kneel on our knees and pray for 1 hour, 6 feet apart from each other. We're going to be just praying before the Lord and asking for, yeah, that repentance, that revival, and that restoration. Those are our 3 points. And so that will be, we'll be praying from 4 to 5. And if the Lord really blesses this time and many people come and there's no parking available, you guys can just meet us on Main Street, parking on Main Street, or if your church is closest to Main Street and you want to just park in your own church parking lot and walk to Main Street, however it is. But also, if you're not able to kneel, we just want prayer warriors. We want people who come and pray with the posture of their heart humbled before the Lord and desperate. And so if you want to sit while you're praying, if you need to stand while you're praying, but for those who can, we're going to be praying on our knees. And the last thing I wanted to mention is I'm just really blessed that we brought up fasting in this time, because that was the other thing I had forgotten. I really do believe that there is a power to fasting and praying. Jesus referred to the disciples that were casting out demons or trying to perform certain miracles, and they asked, you know, why can't we do these things that you had us go out to do? And he said, some of these will only come out through prayer and fasting. And so there is a power to fasting. There's a humility to fasting. And what happens? Why do we fast? We fast to say, all right, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to deny my flesh things that it thinks it needs, you know, food and or whatever the Lord calls you to fast from. I'm going to say no to these things so that I can hear your voice more clearly. I can be praying through your Spirit, and I can become hungry for you, Lord, you know, more than hungry for food, more than hungry for anything else. I want to desire the Lord again. And so I'm sure Pastor George has greater insight on fasting, but I really would encourage, for those who can, fast and pray on this day.
Yeah, fasting, I have found, is something that I do not like to do, and I find it difficult to do, but I have also found it very powerful for me to do. And the reason being is, as Kana has noted, when I really need to know what to do, and I need wisdom, I need God to speak to me, I need to at least be able to hear that He's speaking to me to discern what to do, I have found fasting is a way for me really to, wow, my Bible comes alive, and I'm able to discern things, hear the voice of God. And often there's big decisions, things I've had to figure out, I figured out while fasting, seeking the Lord. And, you know, why would going out without food, you know, please the Lord? Or, you know, we think of it, maybe, you know, why would that even be? And I don't know if it's that, actually. I think it does something in our heart. Again, it's what I just read to you in Jonah. It's, you know, God seeing the person that is more serious. God seeing, you know, He saw in Nineveh when they were real serious, fasting, sackcloth, and crying out to God. He saw that. He saw that they meant business. They meant business with Him, and He responded to that. And so I think for you and I, fasting shows that. It shows, it can show that for us, because it's just not something we like to do. Who likes to do that? Some people do it maybe for health reasons. Some people try to lose weight that way, probably not very successfully. And others try to, you know, maybe do it for some other benefit. But the reason we do it as Christians, as we're led by God, obviously, but it, There's something about it. It's true. And I'll leave it with the Lord ultimately, but I've just found it's just true. You want to get serious about the spiritual battle? You want to see breakthrough in areas of your life? Sometimes the extra thing, the extra step, the thing that helped bring that was you got more serious in prayer and you set some time apart to fast also. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I think of that passage where the verse says, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God, pulling down strongholds. And so fasting, it does something in the spiritual realm because you're saying, I'm going to come to the Lord not dependent on my physical strength or my physical understanding or my physical ability to form, you know, beautiful, intricate prayers on behalf of the city and on behalf of my own heart. Like, you are coming dependent on the Lord for strength and on His Spirit. Because, yeah, physically, you know, you get drained or you get tired or, you know, and so you're focusing your hunger and your desperation on the Lord, but also your strength from Him. And so in the spiritual realm, that means I'm coming to noticing there's a spiritual battle in this city. There's strongholds that have been here for so long. We even discussed the beginning of the church in Fitchburg and how there was just a major divide, major disunity, and major oppression at the beginning of the church plant in Fitchburg, the very first church. And so there's strongholds that have gone back from the very beginning. And fasting is one of those ways, fasting and prayer is one of those ways that we're saying, I'm coming to this battle, not in my own strength, not coming before the enemy unarmed, but in the power of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit and coming humbly before the Lord, that He would be the one that fills me and leads me in my praying and in my interceding for the city.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I could give you a lot of different quotes. I'm actually looking right now at the Call to Fall National website. This, again, is a national thing that it's come out of Family Research Council. But here's just a couple statements related to what Cana is saying, but this is about praying on your knees, but also the battle. Talk about a battle. Major General Williams G. Boykin, you may have heard of him. He's retired, but he is a Christian, so he speaks at times at sometimes political rallies and churches and so forth, conferences. But Major General William Boykin, he's now retired, but he said this: it is a spiritual enemy we have to contend with. Now is the time to fight. We've got to defeat them on our knees. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. God is alive. God is real. God will answer the prayers of those who humble themselves before Him. No mortal is the enemy. It's the enemy you can't see. It's a war against the forces of darkness. The battle won't be won with guns. It'll be won on our knees. Don't let go of this country. Stay on your knees and don't ever give up. This man, a military man, saying there's a battle, but it isn't with the physical, right? The Bible even tells that. It's a spiritual battle. And so prayer, serious prayer on our knees. That's usually more serious when we're on our knees. And then fasting just shows all the more. God, we come to You. And I think it's a spiritual weapon. There's a power in coming to God that way. And oh, does our country ever need it? And the church and you and I need it. And so Call to Fall Sunday, Cana, give... We've got a minute to go, so give just the final details so somebody can learn more about it and what do they need to do and the time and so forth.
Yes, absolutely. So this Sunday, June 28th, we're meeting at 3:30 p.m. in Horizon Christian Fellowship parking lot. That is 356 Broad Street in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And then we'll be walking over to pray on Main Street from 4 to 5 p.m. on June 28th. And like I said, if you don't find parking in our parking lot, or if you want to meet us on Main Street, we'll just be praying from 4 to 5 p.m. You can join us. We'll be socially distanced. And for more information on that, you can find us on our Facebook. That is facebook.com/Horizon Fitchburg. And there's the event that's available there. There's also a link to an interview that we discussed last week. It gives more details. There's also, just different updates weekly throughout the week. And so, yeah, stay connected there. But I want to finish with the verse from Romans 8:11. It says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. God, through His Spirit, has the power to resurrect us. And that's why we'll be calling on Him.
Amen. So that's this program tonight, Hope for the Hour. We'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow night. And we'll probably be talking more this week, too, about Call to Fall. Great to be with you. Great to have Pastor Buck Nicholson also and Cana here. But good night, and I hope you continue to tune in. And this Sunday, remember, Call to Fall here in Fitchburg, 4 o'clock. God bless you.